God's word because of our time. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified in Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say,
amen.
We are on a teaching called spiritual combustion. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's a teaching on the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Someone say the gift of the Spirit. But we are doing a background work, right? We are doing a background work on knowing who the believer is and what the believer has. What did we learn last week, Sunday? We learned that the believer is holy. We are what?
Holy.
It means that we are set apart unto. We are set apart unto. We are set apart unto. So we being set apart unto God now determines how we live. Is that not what we said last week? Even if you're not here, or you didn't hear, or you can't remember, you just say yes, because you don't expect that, I will not remember. Amen. All right, now we're going to be looking at the scriptures, because we are taking this series step by step with the intention that people will be able to practice in a greater dimension the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And you see, except something is explained, your practice will be faulty. Praise the Lord. Okay, let us start off in fair. I hope you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Except something is explained and understood, your practice may be hit and miss. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Is somebody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Are we there? Church, are we there? We need to move with speed. It says, now concerning... Okay, you're not there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is verse 1. Are we there now? Now concerning spiritual gifts or spirituals, because if you are reading, if you have a good Bible, the gifts should be in italics. Praise God. It means that it was not written in the originals. Gifts was not in the originals. They just put it there so you have an understanding of what he's talking about. So concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So what is the first thing that can block your participating or manifesting the things of the Spirit?
Ignorance.
So the more I know, the more I can participate. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How many people have gotten better based on knowledge on something in their life?
Yeah.
You're a better trader because you have a mentor that was teaching you how to do it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Meaning the things of the Spirit also can be explained and understood. That's why we are having this teaching. And why are we explaining it? Listen, the way you experience God's grace is through a growth in knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Are you in verse 18? All right, can we be very quick? Are you in verse 18?
Yes.
2 Peter 3, 18. What does it say? But grow. You know, I'm actually going to be teaching from the Old Testament. This, if you are struggling with Peter, how will you get to Micah? Okay, 2 Peter 3, 18. But grow in
grace
and so that word and there in the original means I mean. When I say grow in grace, that word there and is the word kai in the Greek, K-A-I. It means I mean. So when it says grow in grace, what is it really talking about? Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do I grow in grace? How do I grow in grace? So my growth in grace is tied to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So we are talking about the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. But before we go deeply into the gift of the Spirit, we must remember that God was the one that started this journey. God gave a promise. What did God give? Church, what did God give? Look at the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah 7, we are going to be reading very quickly verse 18. Micah 7 verse 18. I want you to be there. Micah 7, are you in 18 now?
Yeah.
Who is a God like unto thee? That's Micah talking. What does this God do that does what? Pardoneth. Say, my God. Pardons iniquities. So what is God? If God had a CV, what are the things you will see in God's CV according to this Micah? He pardons. So, embossed in gold, in the CV of, you know, there are some things, when you have a particular skill, you emboss it in gold on your CV. Amen. If you don't, I'm giving you CV tips, you know, right? You don't emboss it in gold. I slap well. So, in case it was maybe the job of a gate man, praise God. You emboss it in gold. When I slap people, they don't make it. Right? You emboss, so, that one, skilled slapper. Right? So, embossed in gold in the CV of our God is that ability called forgiver of what? Iniquity. He is good at it. Praise God. Let's continue. It says here, he passed by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retained not his anger forever. Are you hearing? We are talking about the CV of God. The curriculum vitae. What I would read, you know, like if I was reading your last CV, we'll say, I'm good with this. I'm good with that. I will not tell you what I think I know about it. When we are reading God's CV, you see, pardoneth iniquity, passes over transgression. For he delighted, he does not withhold his anger. So this is what he's trying to say. Anger as a destination, God doesn't reach it. Are you hearing? He then says, for he delighted in mercy. Are you hearing? Who is your God? He does what? What is that thing that God loves to do? To be merciful is his nature. But Brother Victor was ministering. And you know, I always rebuke him. I always say, play and sing much more of your songs. He was ministering today, and he was ministering Psalm 103. Right? All those things I was saying at some point. If you're not used to the scripture, he was ministering Psalm 103. Is that not what you're ministering? He was ministering Psalm 103. So that's why you should listen to me. If you're listening to Brother Victory, you'll be listening to scriptures. Praise God. Amen. Even this very thing I know, it must be scripture somewhere. Amen. Praise God. But he was talking about the Father, that the Lord God is slow to anger. Very gracious and compassionate. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Let's look at it here. Look at verse 19. He says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Hope you know that depth of the sea is a figure of speech. How many people have gotten to the depth of the sea before? Mm-hmm. Meaning that when it goes there, it's covered. If you lose something, if you're on a cruise and you throw a pound down, you will never see it again. That's it. Over. Praise God. Depth of the sea. So it's the same way. Our iniquities have been covered. What else did he say? That he will perform the truth to Jacob. This is where I'm going. And the mercy to Abraham, which he swore to our fathers from the days of old. So who started this thing? God. But we are going to start it off from what Micah said. He said he told something to Abraham. What did he tell Abraham? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. You can't miss Genesis. If you are searching for Genesis, hey, you need Believers Foundation School. Oh, dear God. Genesis, we are going to be reading from verse 2. But verse 1 is where he told him, get out of your house. Just the way he told Ayola, get out of darkness into light. I'm sure you must have figured it out that today we are using Ayola. No doubt and no peace. Amen. Praise God. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That was what he told Abraham. The Bible says when he told Abraham this, he was preaching the gospel to Abraham. Let's see it in the Bible. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Let's go there quickly. Galatians 3 verse 8. Say, I'm a man of the Spirit. I give myself to understanding. Look at verse 8. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God will declare righteous the heathen, through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. So did Abraham hear the gospel preached? Where did he hear the gospel preached? Genesis 12 verse 2. Right? So the Lord God preached the gospel to Abraham and said to him, he says, what was the gospel he preached to Abraham? It is there. Saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. What is the blessed? What was the gospel to Abraham? Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Did we just see that in Genesis 12 verse 2? So the question is, there is something actually called Abraham's blessing. How many people went to school where they sang or Sunday school? Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. Why is Rebecca not singing with us? Hey, I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Let me sing my father. Blessings are mine. You see, my father-in-law, I hope he's not watching. When we are singing any song, he has a special pattern. I say, Abraham blesses are mine. I like it. All right. Okay. Now we're talking about the blessings of Abraham. Why? God preached the gospel to Abraham and said, Abraham will be blessed. And you must remember something about the Bible. One of the problems with believers, Christians, is the fact that we give words our own special meaning and interpretation. So when the Bible says Abraham's blessings, if you don't ask the Bible, what are the blessings of Abraham? You will assume that the blessings of Abraham is something you will call a blessing. And what then happens is that you think something is the blessing of Abraham. At some point, you don't then see it, but you have been singing it is in the morning and in the evening. So you are wondering if your God is faithful. Because he said, Abraham's blessings are yours. So then we must answer the question in the Bible by Jesus, by God. God told us what the blessing of Abraham is. Galatians 3:14. Or let's read Galatians 3. We can read it from verse 13 because of our time. Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Who had the law? To be honest, the Jew was the one that was given the law. Amen. Who was given the law? All right. Being made a curse for? Are you in verse 13? Being made a curse for? For it is written, curse is everyone that hanged on the? How many people remember that Jesus Christ hung on the tree? Do you know why he hung on the tree? Because there is a law in the law of Moses that said every criminal that is caught for sin must be hung on the? So when Jesus Christ was hanging on the tree, what was he fulfilling? He was fulfilling that statement. Did he sin? No. Who were the sinners? The Jews. No. In this context of... Good stuff. We have the Jews. Listen, the Jews were given a law. If you mess up, we hang you on a tree. So the idea is that Jesus Christ came and said, every one of them has messed up. So what do I do? So when he's hanging on the tree, what did he do? He was taking upon the curse and the punishment for the Jew who had the law that he must be hung on the tree. How many people know that there were other people that were hung on the tree with Jesus? Because that was the custom, right? Is it making sense? Yes. Amen. Okay, well, let's continue now. But that's not where we are ending. Look at verse 14. Because we are trying to know what the blessing of Abraham is. What is the blessing of Abraham? Galatians 3:14. He says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through. So what is the blessing of Abraham? The Spirit. So Genesis 12 verse 2. When he said, I will bless you and make your name great, and through you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What was God promising Abraham? I will give you and I will give your descendants the Spirit. So the Spirit was a promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are we talking about this? You must know why it is your legal right to serve the Spirit. Because it's part of the blessings of your lineage. Is it making sense? The blessings of Abraham is the Spirit. Why did he call it the promise of the Spirit? He said it was coming. So the gospel is about a promise. So, for example, when you say promise keeper, you are talking about a God who promised that he will give himself, and he did. Praise God. I tell people that the gospel is the reason why you can actually have faith for things and anything. So, for example, someone say healing, healing, healing. If he can raise a three-day-old dead body, what is cancer? We use our redemption to understand his capacity. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, hallelujah. So, we see that the gospel is about a what? Promise. Titus 1 verse 2. You must see that there is a promiser, right? Who promised something. Are you in Titus? Titus chapter 1 verse 2. In hope of... Why are we slow with the Bible today? What's going on? Oh, I hear that is the fasting. Dear God. Okay, Titus chapter 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie did what?
Promised
before the world began. So before the world began, what had God promised us?
Eternal life.
What is that eternal life? Put it together. Put Galatians and this together. What is that eternal life? The Spirit. So the Spirit is the blessings of Abraham. The Spirit is the promise. Who brought the Spirit? Jesus Christ. So you will see the prophets always talking about the Spirit. Joel chapter 2. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Joel 2:28. Are we there? Okay. Are we there now? Are we in Joel 2:28? All right. Dear God. All right. Okay, let's read it together. Joel 2:28. Come to pass. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy and dream dreams and see visions. The next verse. In those days. Upon a spirit. Yeah. So there was a promise. A promise. In Titus, he called it eternal life. In Galatians, he calls it the blessing of Abraham. In Genesis 12, verse 2, we see the blessing of Abraham. We now see that the blessing of Abraham is the Spirit. So when I believe the gospel, I receive the Spirit. How many people receive the Spirit when they believe the gospel? All them. That is why the blessings of Abraham have come to us. What is the blessing of Abraham? The Spirit. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Amen. So we have the Spirit. When we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we received the Spirit. Now, you need to understand what we're doing here. We are now saying that within that Spirit, someone say within the Spirit. Within the Spirit are what we call gifts. So if you have the Spirit, is the gift in the Spirit. Praise God. See, so our issue is not possession. Our issue is understanding how to manifest what we have possessed. Or what has possessed us. Praise God. Church, praise God. And when you understand how to actually use what has possessed you, you become a better Christian. Say, I'm possessed. You know, we are all possessed. It just depends what is possessing you. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. It's just that there's a way we always speak, that we always think negatively. That lady is possessed. You already imagine. He's talking to you. No, we are all possessed. Amen.
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 You know, God has just not granted us to do the new grace race translation of the Bible. You will laugh. In those kind of places where we say you are, be filled with the Spirit, be possessed by the Holy Ghost. But it's the same thing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have received the Spirit. Say, I have received the Spirit. In fact, you are the house of God. Say, I'm the house of God. God lives in me. Full time. Full time. How many people are in organizations that have security apparatus in your building? You know, you come, they are there. You're leaving, they are there. You come back again in the morning, they are there. Why? Because they have told the organization that they will cover your building full time. If they are not there, you should be shocked. I am saying that God lives in you full time. Praise the Lord. What are we to do? Get you to always remember. Why? Man always forgets. Say the Spirit. And that's what our Deacon Tosi was trying to tell us. Most of the times, you only just need to remember who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who am I? A man possessed. You know, in those days, I don't know about you, but before I got born again, when they say somebody is possessed by a demon, we all fear the person. Right? We have been possessed by a spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. But we always forget. If we knew or always remember, that's why we confess. I'm possessed. You need to remember that you are no longer normal. Who are you? Possessed. Amen. Just qualify your possession by the Spirit. Praise God. Church, praise God. So we all have the Spirit in us as long as we are born again. Let us see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going somewhere today. But if you always continually say it, I am possessed by the Spirit. You know, it is knowing that you are possessed. The more you know it, the more you say it, the more you acknowledge it, you now are open to the powers of that which possessed you. Did you hear what I just said? Your mind is open to the powers of that possessed you. Do you know that when you are demon possessed, the demon actually needs permission to actually take over your mind? When it has taken, I should not be teaching demonology, but when it has taken over the mind, that's where the person can be talking. He can have a very sweet voice like Sister Yola on a normal day. But the person is now possessed, meaning the devil has taken over that person's mind. You now hear that person is a normal woman like Sister Yola. You now start talking like Uncle Shegu. Hello? I'm not living here today. Why? That demon has taken over the mind of that person to actually speak those words. I won't live. Have you not? Okay. I won't leave her. I will kill her. I will destroy her. All those kind of stuff. Is it the person that is possessed talking about it? No, it's taking over the mind. What are we saying? You are possessed. You are possessed by the Spirit. And the Spirit also wants to talk and do things through. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Who is this talking to? You see it very clearly now. Unto thee. Unto thee. How many of us here are members of the global body of Christ? So that means this is applicable to you. Unto the church of God, then he's now giving us some location here. Meaning that every believer should have a located place he gathers. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So he says, unto the church of God, which is located in Corinth. Who is the church of God? Them that are sanctified. So these ones are set apart. Say, I am set apart. Right, he says these ones are called saints. Say, I am a saint. So a saint is not a person who does good all throughout his life. When he dies, they now call him Saint Bio. No, a saint is that one that has believed the gospel. By believing the gospel, you are called a saint. A saint means a set apart one, holy one. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what made you holy? So that you are clear. The Spirit is what made you holy. Praise God. Church, praise God. So this part of Corinthians already tells us that he's talking to the church. Look at what it says to us in verse 4. And this is how you should start in your journey as it relates to the things of the Spirit. How does he start? Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus. What do you do first in your journey as it relates to the things of the Spirit? You thank God. Thank God because it is a present reality. Amen. What do you do? I thank you, Lord, I've got the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that revelations flows through me. Not, oh God, no. How do we start off as believers? We thank God for what we have. Regardless of what we see. It's always the same principle in scriptures. We thank God for what we have. What do we have? He says we have something. I thank God always. Did you see it there? I thank God how many times? Always on your behalf for the grace of God that is given to you by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by him. Not only are you possessed, you are also rich. Did you hear what I said? Not only are you possessed, you are also rich. You have been enriched in all church, in all utterance and in all knowledge. This is very, very important. Will you be enriched or are you enriched? So, as you stand now, when they want to evaluate the spirit in spirit currency, are you rich?
Yes.
What are you rich of? You are rich of the spirit. To the point that somebody is thanking God. What should you do? Thank God. How do I start off in the things of the Spirit? Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Thanksgiving is faith language. Murmuring is the language of unbelief. I'll say it again. Thanksgiving is faith language. Murmuring is the language of unbelief. Thanksgiving is faith language. You start off with, I thank God is here. Not, oh God, is it here? What's going on? Thanksgiving is faith language. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving, the dialect of the saints. Hallelujah. So what did he say? I thank God for you are enriched in utterance. So I'm going to do something very quickly just to help your mind. What did he say you are enriched in? Utterance. So there are, I want to box the gifts of the Spirit today. I will have done it differently, but because of our time, I'll box the gifts of the Spirit into three, just so that you can understand. So they are what we call utterance gifts. Listen carefully now. They are what we call utterance gifts. We have revelation gifts and we have power gifts. What did he say you are enriched in? Utterance. What are the utterance gifts? Listen, the utterance gifts, we're going to see it in the Bible, but I just want to share with you quickly. The utterance gifts will be tongues, amen, interpretation of tongues, amen, and prophecy. The revelation gifts would be word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Please, I hope you are writing this down so you don't forget. And then the power gifts is the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and working of miracles. Praise God. I have just divided the gifts of the Spirit into three. What did Paul thank God for? That they are enriched in what? So, utterance is the gift of the Spirit. The utterance gifts are the, listen carefully, are the gifts of the Spirit given to the church that the church can practice and manifest when they like, how they like. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
I'll say it again. What are utterance gifts? Tongues. Interpretation of tongues, the twin brother, and then prophecy. Meaning any time the saints can function in this. Praise God. And because this teaching today, if I have time, I actually want to talk about tongues. Right? Now I want you to learn something. This utterance gift is the doorway, or it is the lubricant, or it is the catalyst to the revelation gifts and the power gifts. Let me say it well. If you wanted to mechanically arrive at power, start with what is in your pocket. What is in your pocket? Utterance. Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, if you actually make your way by utterance, you will hit the doors of revelation and you hit the doors of power. In fact, this is the way it happens most of the times. Utterance, revelation. How many people, after a time of praying, It's just an example. If it doesn't apply to you, forget about it. It doesn't mean nothing has happened to you. How many people, after a time of intense prayer, just start to see and know? Just see and know. How many people, has it happened to you before? After a time of intense, you just see. Yeah, because utterance would open up the doors to the other abilities of the Spirit. So the utterance gift is the doorway. It's what is put in your pocket. If you stay with utterance, you get more. I'm talking of in manifestation. Do you have everything?
Yeah.
What gave you everything? What is your key? You have the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
What are we dealing with? We are dealing with practical manifestations of the abilities of the Spirit. So what has God given to you? Utterance. Utterance is yours. Meaning at any point in time, you can just go, Ratoshamaka. How many people can speak in tongues? At any time, he gave it to you. But I am saying to you that as it relates to the other operations of the Spirit, meaning if you are not even talking about I'm gifted, I'm this, I'm that, as it relates to the gift of the Spirit, if you stay with utterance, you find yourself in revelation. If you stay in revelation, you find yourself in power. And when you have stayed long in utterance and revelation, everything will just start mixing. Like a DJ on point. Just mixing the songs. Amen. Just so that it makes sense to you. Amen. Praise God. Any DJ that is playing one song for like 3 minutes doesn't know his work. Amen. So you should do like 15 seconds and go, you know, Ravitri. Yeah, praise God. He's just singing one song, 7 minutes. We're all looking at it. Did they pay him or why is he here? Amen. So we are saying you start off with utterance. If you are hearing me well, I am saying one of the greatest gifts God gave to you was speaking in tongues. See, if you stop hearing or you leave the church now, hear what I said. If you give your time and give yourself to speaking in tongues, you are making a major headway in your life. Praise God. See, things will not just be happening in your nation. You don't know. Why? It's because there is a corridor of revelation. There's a corridor. It's there. There is corridor of power. We're not talking about political power now. We're talking about spiritual power. It's there. But what is the doorway? Utterance. What is the gift of the Spirit that God gave to the church that can be manifested, that opens up the doors to the others? Utterance. Praise the Lord. How did God even show off that he has come? It was through the utterance gift. Look at it. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Alright. You know, he had been promising. The Spirit is coming. The Spirit is coming. How did Jesus announce that the Spirit has come to the people and to the church? Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were in the temple, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Look at verse 3. And he appeared on them, cloving tongues of fire, you know, and he sat upon how many of them? Each one of them. Verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They started speaking in tongues. So how did the Holy Ghost announce that I'm here forever? Tongues. Because it is the beginning. Do you notice that these tongues that we're talking about, tongues and interpretation, are the only two gifts that were not in the Old Testament or in Genesis to Malachi? Praise God. Church, praise God. Church, praise God. So for example, tongues. So how many believers can speak in tongues? How many believers? Now, I'm talking about can, meaning ability. All. But do all believers speak in tongues? Is it a Jesus-giving problem? It's not a Jesus-giving problem. It's a knowledge problem. They already have the Spirit. Let me tell you, because you are ministers, when you are in front of somebody that is born again, that, I mean, has received the Holy Ghost, what I mean by that is that he has believed the gospel. He already has the ability to speak in tongues. Said he already has it. So don't preach to him like God is about to give him something. What does God give? The Spirit. What is speaking in tongues? Manifestation of the Spirit. So you, the minister of the Spirit, must be very confident that you already have it. Praise God. So how do you start as a minister of the gospel? You already have something. That thing is within. How do you minister that gift? Or what we call the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You will tell the person that the person will have to actually cooperate with the gift. What will he do? Acts 2 verse 4. Look at it again. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What did the Holy Ghost do for them? He filled them. And they began to speak with tongues. Who started speaking in tongues? So they spoke, he filled. We are now hearing that when we believe the gospel, we are filled. We have received the Spirit. So what are we getting the man to do? To speak. Praise God. He is to cooperate with what has already happened. And they, you know, there are sometimes you want to minister to somebody so that they can speak in tongues. And depending like this, it won't happen. Except by God doing a miracle. Praise God. You know, the miracle is outside the due order. Do you get that? Praise the Lord. But what is the norm? The believer will be the one to open his mouth. It won't happen. The believer will be told, you have received the Spirit. By faith, you will make words, you will bring forth words, and those words are not coming from your brain. They are words that you will cooperate, your tongue. So you are working in partnership with the Holy Ghost. What will that person's mind be contending with? Because he's intelligent, hopefully. Everything he has said all through his life must make sense. Amen. Now he is about to say something that doesn't make sense to his mind. So you are there to comfort him to say what you are saying will not make sense to you. So it's not that he's not there. The person is just thinking, this thing that is looking like Rebecca. Am I sure? Please, no. I'm not speaking in tongues. No. So you have to tell the person that yes, continue. That you are the one, if you do not move. See, the Holy Spirit in every operation must partner with you. Or you partner with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Church, praise God. Even the believer. See, you don't get saved just because Christ died. You will hear the message and do something. Amen. You will hear the message, believe it and say, I agree. Then the Holy Spirit enters you, you are saved. It is the same thing. He has heard that there is the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to you when you received the gospel. We are now saying that you are able to make sounds and you will be the one to partner with the Spirit. So I am saying that to tell you, when you are ministering to somebody and you want the person to speak in tongues, start from the fact that you know they have. Amen. Amen. So it's not, you are not there thinking, God, don't disgrace us. No, you already has it. Praise the Lord. Do you know that it would be a better way to minister to somebody when you already believe? Like, imagine wanting to minister healing to somebody and you already know you have it. Amen. Talk amen. Amen. Imagine you wanted to, let's follow our script. Sister Ayola, this person has got cancer. Because you know, you don't say, what did you say? Did you say stomach pain? He said, no. Tomorrow they will remove his stomach. Because he has stomach cancer. Do you know it is only wise for Sister Ayola to start off with, I have the answer. I am telling you, you know we are talking about bretestos, mechanically, how we enter and walk in the things of the Spirit. Sister Ayola says, hey, is this great strength that I joined that will still destroy my life? Why did you say that you have cancer? She will not be like, Pastor, no, I said I should say I have it. Do I have it? Hello, Sadiq. Tell me I have it. No, she starts off with, I got it. See, even if you don't feel like it, everything in your mind is saying you'll be disgrace your family. your nation. You, I've got it. So what's happening in your mind? The battle of Armageddon. Where which your mind is saying, you don't have it. And you are saying, I've got it. And you know, normally we expect that with power, we should have actually feel something. And so your body will be telling you, don't feel anything. You know, I got it. I have it, I have it. It's here, it's here, it's here. The answer to cancer is here. I am saying we start off ministering the spirit by we have. Not God, come and give. Praise God. Imagine you minister to every sick person like that. I've got it. So you will tell the person, calm down. Listen, I have what will get you well. Ah, Pastor, we can't be talking like that. Now you are too absolute. You have it. Hey, do you have the spirit?
Yes.
Did the spirit raise Jesus Christ 3 days?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Do you speak in tongues?
Yes.
So you have it. Where do I start up from? I have it. What does unbelief tell you? You don't. Then what are you doing? You are contending. That's why we confess God's word. To remind ourselves that we are the temple. We have it. As it were, like people think, God is not upstairs. God is in you. Praise God. God, praise God. God is where? Believe it. And start to act like it. Praise God. Church, praise God. Imagine we, you know, imagine we gave Sister Ayola 10 billion pounds. And we tell her, spend it using your discretion. You know, she can just walk into this building and say, I'm buying it. And she's not saying, hopefully, you know, I hope with this check will not bounce. No, she's a new level. They said, oh, it's 25 million. No, now I have 100 billion. I'm buying it. Go and bring all the properties of your family. I'll buy everything. You know, do you know why she can talk like that? She's talking from 100 billion pounds. She's not talking from, hello, Sadiq, with the check clear. No, she doesn't even need to talk about it. Sadiq, I just spent 1 billion out of our 250 billion. Oh, I even thought you were talking about something serious.
Come on,
you like that example? I am saying that you are rich in the spirit. You are wealthy. So you come to the platform, you come to minister as a wealthy man. You are rich. That's what the Bible says. I thank my God. So we see, for example, if, let's use the example because I'm liking it. If I was the one that just looked at Sister Ayola and Brother Sadiq and say, you know what? You know, I just, you know, Brother Sadiq's birthday was yesterday. Ms. Bish, what should we give them? Let's give them 600 billion. So it just hit the account. Sister Ayola is just driving. The money enters. She shake. Right? She confirms it. The money is there. What will she do when she sees me? Thank you. Are you getting why he says, I thank my God for the gift? Because it must make sense to you. Why are we thanking God for what we don't have? And when it's not a promise. You know, there are sometimes some people are funny. They want to remind you of your promise. Thank you for the money you said you will give us. That's not our God. Our thanksgiving is a fact. We've got it. We start off with we've got it. Our minds and the situation on ground will never, at no point in time will you ever come to a point where with the flesh you say, you can do this or you've got it. Never, never, never. You are the one that will be louder to say, I am sure I've got this thing. That's why you must know it from God's word. Say, I've got it. Look at it now. Look at it. The Bible now. So we're talking about speaking in tongues. And we're talking about you as a minister. You are ministering to somebody to speak in tongues. You're coming from the point that they have it. What do they have? The spirit. What are you doing? Helping them manifest the spirit. How will you do that? Start off from they have it. Praise God. Praise God. And what are they doing? They are cooperating. Just for practical and all those kind of things. Then, because their mind is not used to it, they will most likely think that they are saying rubbish. And yes, from a point of view of humanism, are they saying rubbish? Yes. Because if I say reso pratoshni, it doesn't make sense to a person that's here. And it makes sense. Let's quickly look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 13. 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Are you a man?
Yes.
Okay. Let's read. In that verse, men means man and woman. Amen. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man, are you a man? Meaning man and woman. No man understands him, albeit in the spirit he is speaking. What is he speaking? So in English or in what we understand to our minds, does it make sense? But spiritually, what is he speaking? Mysteries. In the original, it is divine secrets. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So we have said, utterance is the gift that starts you off on this journey. What are the utterance gifts? All the gifts, because of our time, we don't have time so that we can close today. All the gifts are all labeled for you in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 12. They are all there, which I just mentioned and I categorized for you. They are all there, right? But we are talking about the tongues. Someone say tongues. When I speak in tongues, will I understand what I'm saying? No. Church, will I understand what I'm saying?
No.
No, I won't. But is tongues, speaking in tongues, is it a function of my will?
Yes.
Is it a function of my will?
Yes.
Church, is the supernatural a function of your will?
Yes.
Do you know that tongues is supernatural?
Yes.
So the supernatural is a function of your will. Someone says the function of my will.
It's a function of my will.
Let me show you something quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Meaning your will is to be involved in the thing called tongues. If, are you there? If I pray in an unknown tongue, what is happening? Church, what is happening when I'm praying in tongues? What is your spirit? What did God give you at salvation? He gave you the spirit that created in you a new spirit. That new spirit is exactly like God. Amen. So when we say your spirit is praying, it means praying in tongues or praying in the spirit is the part of you that is God praying. That is why praying in the spirit, as it were, we call it perfect praying. Did you hear what I just said? When I pray in tongues, what's happening? My spirit is praying. What is the difference between your spirit and your mind? Your spirit does not have a knowledge problem. It doesn't have a limitation problem. Your spirit is God within you, but what you have a mind. Your mind is a function of what you think, what you know. That is why sometimes if something is too big for you and you don't know the way to go, just stay praying in the spirit. What I say, if it is a big deal, it's such a big deal, you don't know how to go about it. You know, you even say something like, you know, you don't particularly have the faith for it. Stay praying in the spirit. How do we know? Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 5. The Bible says that they had actually taken Peter. They were going to kill Peter. They had already killed James. When they killed James, the Bible says, and in verse 6, the Bible says, and prayer was made without ceasing by the church for Peter. Meaning, if the church had prayed, will James have died? Amen? If the church had prayed, will James have died? Why? The Bible says they just killed James. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. That is why I always say things like, when you understand what we are talking about as speaking in tongues, you will see the responsibility. You will never need anybody to encourage you. Never. In fact, the Bible tells us they had killed this guy. So the church knew what to do, but they didn't do it. But the moment they killed the other guy, and they were going to kill the other guy the next day, the Bible says the saints called themselves. See, you are more powerful than you know. You actually are. It's just that would you execute that power? Will you give yourself to prayer? Will you bring your heavenly forces and bring them to bear on the earth? Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. The Bible says, and prayer was made without ceasing by the church for Peter. As they were praying in the house. Right? They were praying in Mark's mother's house. The Bible says an angel entered into the prison and released Peter. Opened the gate. Say, hey, you are more powerful than you know. They open the gate. You see, can Sister Ayola open any gate with iron? No, but she has something that can. She has personalities working for her. Let me tell you, Sister Ayola, in the spirit. Have you ever watched a presidential convoy? All those cars. And you see some people don't be jumping with the car. Human beings following the car like that. That's Sister Ayola in the spirit. But Sister Ayola has to make commands. You know, if the president in the car said, he wind down and said, you, frog jump. What will we see all the whole convoy doing? Why? Commands have been given. If he said, you know what? Clear everybody here. Clear this whole place. They will do it. They've got guns, ammunition. Sister Ayola is not physically powerful, but when she wants to, she can get the whole street empty. If she wants to, because why? In that example, she is the president. She gives orders. So what are we saying? We are saying that the man that is born again is the man that has got the spirit. He's like that president in the car. And when he starts to speak in tongues, even when his brain cannot comprehend the orders that need to be marshaled out, he can get things happening. So the Bible will tell us, as they were praying, angels had already been released. Angels have gone to release Peter. Peter came to the house. Meaning, listen, let me tell you something. Prayer affects you. Prayer affects the people you are praying for. And prayer affects situations and circumstances. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Are we still here? Praise the Lord. And so they were praying. As they were praying, the angel had come and, you know, the angel tapped Peter and said, Peter, get up. Praise God. It is prayer that will make Peter stand up and go. All of those things that is supernatural, it's all covered up in the praying of the church. Then Peter now walked to where they were praying. Let me tell you that they didn't particularly have so great faith. The Bible says when Peter got to the house and knocked the door and said, I am Peter. What did they say? It must be his ghost. Why? They know Peter was in the spirit. He was in prison. Then Rhoda said, I know his voice. That is Peter. They opened up the door and they were surprised. According to the law of faith is actually always saying that you expect it. But they were not particularly expecting it. All they knew how to do was stay in prayer. Staying in prayer was enough to release the supernatural. Why? Because when I pray in the spirit, my spirit is praying. Hallelujah. So what has God given you? God has given you authority. Amen. You are the one that would now say, okay. Think about it. Think about it if you were James and you're now with God. How will you feel? James. They captured James. The church didn't pray. They killed James. They killed him. Not a tap and a shadow. They offed the guy. They killed him. Why? Where is the power? God's power is not up somewhere. You know, people say, oh, calm down. No, God is not coming down. God is in you. Did you hear? God is where? It is now up to you to start to legislate like who you are. The temple of God. So 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in the spirit, my spirit prays. He now says, what will I do? Look at the next verse so we can close. Look at the next verse. We're in 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 14. Look at verse 15. So what is it then? Meaning, what will I do? Someone say, I will. Look at it there. He says, I will pray with the spirit. Are you hearing me? Who will? Who wills? Who is in that presidential convoy that Sister Ayola is in? Who gives the orders? She's the one. Praise God. Praise God. How did she become the president? By an election of a particular people. By the resurrection, you have been elected to be the one that has the spirit. Amen. I am the man of the spirit. I am the man of the spirit. So I will give myself to praying. I will give myself to praying in tongues. I will give myself to praying in tongues. For when I pray in the spirit, my spirit prays. He says, my spirit prays. The part of me that is God prays. I pray the will of God. I pray the plan of God. I open myself. Come on. I open myself to the other operations of the Spirit. Rise upon your feet right now. Rise upon your feet right now. Rise upon your feet right now. Hey, rise upon your feet right now. Lift up your hands to God and exercise that gift that you have. I will pray in the Spirit. I will. Come on, pray. See, you, I have shown you. I have told you. I have told you what you have. I have told you. So speaking in tongues is not for you just an empty activity. It is of your will. The more you give yourself to it, the more you see the supernatural on the earth space. You have heard it long enough. You have the Spirit. You have power. You have revelation. You have heard it long enough. It's now time for you to say, I will take responsibility. Yeah, I will pray. In the Holy Ghost. I will pray in tongues. I will build up myself. In my own holy faith. Riba ye kele 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 kele. When I lack wisdom or I don't think to know what to do, I've got an apparatus. When I'm afraid, there's a boldness peal. Yes. Rico sopada deya dele bolelele. Come on, give God praise. Come on, speak in the Holy Ghost. That's the gift God gave to you, the Spirit. He told them, tarry. You are still normal until you have received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Direction is not the issue. Hey. Stirring up yourself is the issue. No matter what the issue, we start off in utterance. Rabosele. In prayer, we know what to do. In prayer, we see how to go. In prayer. Yeah. Oh. Pray. Holy Ghost. In prayer. Yeah. Hallelujah. Please listen to me. God has given you His Spirit. It's not a mean feat. He has given you His Spirit. You put that Spirit to work. You know, as we go in these last sessions of our 21 days prayer and fasting, just choose. I beg you. Because like I said, in the New Testament, or in the way in Christ, we cannot compel you. You know, we know what will sort the problem out, but we can only tell you. We can't even be supervising you and say, you know what, did you pray? Have you prayed? But that is it. God has given you the Spirit. So schedule times of prayer. Schedule times of praying in the Holy Ghost. Learn to pray on the go. Learn to just speak in tongues. Learn to give yourself to it. Have routine times of prayer and have time to just burst in tongues. It's a supernatural language. It's the life of God. It's the ability of God within us. This is how we start to... utterance is what we have in our pocket. We can use it anytime. That's how wealthy you are. There is nothing that cannot be consumed by that he has given to you. Nothing. It's just that, will I stay long enough? Will I be consistent? Will I follow? Will I continue? It looked like too big a dream that Jesus will come. A virgin shall give birth to a child. It didn't make sense. But Anna said, no, on this matter I will stay. I will stay on this matter. I will stay until I can generate enough power to make it okay for a woman to be pregnant without a man touching her. And she will carry the divine life of God and not have miscarriage. She prayed it sufficiently. Yes. That's how we pray at the will of God. That's how we do. That's how we do. Lift up your hands and say, I'll give myself to prayer. I'll give myself to utterance. I will give myself to utterance. Thank you, Father. Father, we give you praise. And Lord, I pray that even much more than I have said today, that you would open up this teaching to the hearts of the saints in greater dimensions. That they would see so mightily that the apparatus, the power and the might is already within them. That they would see that the Holy Ghost is within them. Amen. That they would see it so clearly that it will make them burst for joy. Amen. Regardless of situation and circumstances, they will burst out for joy. Amen. For they've got the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father. What Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, the intercessor within, the strengthener within. Men don't have to actually complain, I'm weak. There is a strengthener within. There is a helper within. There is an intercessor, a standby within. Oh, that they will see it so clearly. They will put it to work. That this meeting, this teaching will bed men of prayer. Fulfilling your scripture that says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say,